You can put it on that if you want. All right.
All right.
So, for those of you that haven't met me or I met you yet, I'm Clayton Parham. I'm part of the Greater Nashville Church.
Let's go, Nashville.
And I want to send you greetings from my heart, send you greetings from Nashville, and we're all one family.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Now, I have a few thoughts I want to share with you, and I'll make it fast, but I'm about to lose it.
Oh, no.
What I saw here this morning with you all, I'm speechless. Your faith, your hearts, just, I'm overwhelmed.
Amen.
I mean, that's just all there is to it.
Awesome.
When you're smart, when you're part of a smaller church, you face a number of obstacles, if you will. One is you don't always have the luxury of a larger church where you can kind of nestle in and kind of not be seen and all that kind of stuff. Y'all know I'm telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
Come on.
You don't have that luxury. You have to make it happen yourself. Every single week, brother. Every week. Everybody puts on a hard hat, picks up a hammer and a nail, and get on with it.
That's right.
And that's what you all are doing today. Week after week, you are my heroes. The young brother, you keep singing. You keep singing. I was so moved by your heart. Didn't matter about a few missed notes or a mistake here and there. It doesn't matter. You know what?
That's right.
God is pleased with you.
Amen.
You keep singing. Don't you ever, ever think for a minute that you're not making a difference. You keep your courage and you keep singing.
Amen.
I want to thank my new friends and brothers and sisters, brother and sister, Don and Zuma. I don't have to tell you what kind of great hosts they are. They put me up last night and we had a couple of hours to just talk and laugh. And I was telling my wife, Renee, she's not with me, obviously, just bragging on them from the time I met them when they came up with Nora and Richard when, you know, Nora lost her sister. And I just felt like I bonded with them then, and now, wow, I'm just amazed and appreciate both of you so much. Thank you. That's what family is about.
Yes, sir.
That's what God is about. That's what Jesus is about. And looking at my brother right here, I got my picture of you and me in the phone.
Yeah, yeah.
When you were up in Nashville. And do you know, as soon, are you Chris?
Yes.
When I got out of the car, I parked over there. I didn't know where to park. I just parked over there and I saw the two of you get out and had Bibles. I'm like, but the minute he saw, he knew who I was. You know how encouraging that is when you walk somewhere and somebody instantly knows who you are? Then he gave me a compliment, said, "You're losing weight." I said, "Thank you. Appreciate it. I'm working on it." I ain't going to quite look like you anymore, but it is what it is, right? Thank you all for being so very vital for Mississippi, for your part in God's kingdom. It's not about being perfect and having everything all figured out. One thing about a smaller church, again, is family. You should gravitate to each other. And I hope that what I share with you will encourage that. I'm just going to take a few moments. What I'd like to say before I just get into it, I realize that each person here is at different stages of your journey. So it's not a one-size-fits-all type of thought or message. I hope you can get something from what I'm learning. I'm just sharing with you what I'm learning. And if it helps you, amen. If it doesn't, then I'm sorry. Maybe later. Thank you. But before we go on, let's pray again. I just want to pray. Oh God, I thank you for the faithful here. It's been 4 years just about since I've been here, and I'm so grateful for Sydney, for Charisse, their hard work, their resolve, their faithfulness, their tenacity to make you Lord of their lives.
That's right.
In my mind's eye, they are splendid examples of what I need to become. I thank you, and I pray that you keep their arms lifted. I thank you for Nora and Richard and all that they do here in terms of support and giving their hearts and serving here in the Tri-County Church. And I'll put the FKA Jackson Church. It doesn't matter what the title or name. What matters is what's happening today. I pray that no one ever gets tired, or at least at the very most, when they grow weary, they can find rest through your spirit, through each other, mm-hmm. and that they'll never ever give up the fight.
Amen.
Let your spirit reign now as I humbly try to speak a little bit, but my prayer is that you keep them all safe and forever focused on you and forever protected from the evil one, because he is evil, and we're seeing the world being impacted more and more each day. I think someone said earlier, when you look at the world, you get to get concerned about things. Yep, that's the truth. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Richard, my brother, if you bring that slide up. Okay, this won't take long. Can anyone tell me what that is? A tiller. So we got some people in here that know something about. All right, I like that. And so I love that. I have one like that at home. Go to the next one, my friend. What's that?
Rotor tiller.
Rotor tiller. Y'all know some. Are y'all farmers or gardeners? Y'all know some. Y'all know. All right. And the next one?
I really need.
Yeah. That'll tear up something, won't it? That'll really tear up something. So these three tillers that we've established, what exactly is the purpose of a tiller? This is interactive for a few minutes.
Okay.
Anybody? Till the dirt. Somebody else said something?
Prepare the soil.
Yeah. Anybody else? Well, that's it in a nutshell. Tear up the dirt, get the soil prepared, all that wonderful stuff. So we see that a tiller, doesn't matter whether it's the first one, the hand tiller, the one that's a little bit bigger, they all serve the same purpose. They tear up the soil. Well, why do we want to tear up soil? Anybody? Why do we want to tear it up?
So that we can use it to plant seeds.
Amen. That's it. So we can use it to plant seeds. Another way to look at it is, when we tear up something, we shake it up.
Yep.
Okay? From a human standpoint, usually when we shake up something or something shakes us in our lives, it's usually uncomfortable. Would you agree with that?
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Okay. Now, what happens to soil if we don't use a tiller or we disturb it? What happens?
It hardens.
Thank you. It hardens. What else?
Parking lot.
Thank you.
It gets hard.
That's right.
Yeah.
It gets hard. What happens to hard soil?
Nothing grows.
Nothing grows. It's useless.
Right.
Absolutely useless. Now, think about grass for a minute. Now, think about this so-called, what I'm sharing. These are things that I've been thinking about over the past year and a half as far as I'm going is, Clayton, you need to till your soil. Grass, if you have some, or just a garden, or you may have a farm, or been on a farm, grew up on a farm, I don't know. In any case, if you don't till that soil, it will become hard and it becomes useless. It's no longer any good.
Mm-hmm.
So, with that being said, word of caution is, when was the last time you tilled your soil?
Come on.
I'm asking myself that question. Mark 4, let's go to Mark 4. We're going to read this very familiar parable. Parable of the sower. And I'll just get started because you'll find it. And again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, but because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Verse 9 is key here. In my view. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." So what I really want to look at here is, my thought is, it doesn't matter whether you're a farmer, just a casual gardener, or simply someone who has a green thumb, to understand this concept that Jesus was teaching.
Right.
Jesus spoke in a lot of parables. I'm glad he did, because if he had really started speaking his wisdom, it would have been so far above my head, there's no way I would have been able to catch it. He knew that. That's why he spoke like he did, because he knew we wouldn't get it.
Come on, Clayton.
You know, what I really want to do here is call our attention to verse 4 through 8, where it talks about the different levels of the soils and their reaction and all those kinds of things here. But I want to pull out a few characteristics that parallel the true Christian and a person of the earth. Now, the person of the earth is basically a farmer, a gardener, somebody that kind of dabbles in that. Let's pull out the first one. A wise farmer. What is it that it even says it right there? It says, what does a wise farmer do? A wise farmer works hard. And a wise farmer is going to work hard because it's do or die.
Yeah.
If a farmer doesn't work, he's not going to eat. If he sells his crop, he won't get any crops to sell, so he still won't eat. He won't survive, will he?
Right.
Or do you think a farmer that just kind of sits and folds his hands, he or she is going to survive for very long?
No, sir.
They won't. Their attitude is, like I referred to the Dockeries, is tenacious, even through challenging times. They're tenacious.
That's right.
Because it's do or die. Do we think about our soil, which is our soul, as do or die? Part of that work is tending to the soil to be sure it will produce. Mm-hmm. And what if what happens to a wise farmer when he or she sees that the soil is not producing? What happens? Interactive.
That's question and why.
Question is why, and guess what he does? He takes a, or they take a proactive.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They go and get it tested.
Yeah.
If the soil is not producing fruit of some kind or crop of some kind, they go and get it tested.
That's right. Yeah.
To find out where is the problem.
Right.
A wise farmer will do that because if you don't know what the problem is, you won't know how to fix it. And you will eventually, that soil will continue to get harder and harder and more useless, to the point where you can allow soil to get to a point where it becomes useless no matter what you do to it. You can pump it through all the nutrients, you can put everything in the ground, but it reaches a point of no return, and guess what? You may as well just get rid of it. It's gotten too hard. It's been too long. You got to get rid of it. A wise farmer also knows how to build community. Y'all seen co-ops, the sign with co-ops on there? Those are usually farmers. People that says, I see the value of other farmers being part of this community. The value of sharing information with each other. Maybe there's a technique that a farmer over here knows about that this one doesn't. Maybe if we share this, we'll all have a nice crop together, a nice harvest together.
Yep.
Oh, I think that word harvest is in the book.
Yes, sir.
Hmm.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Something that farmers really do that I really think for me is really understanding the heart of community. I've gone to co-ops and they really knit together. They really share with each other. They don't have that prideful, wall up. Now, you do have some that you, have you seen maybe some movies or some, where you've got some old stubborn, well, look at old Joe down the road. He's just old. He's not going to tell you anything. He's not going to give you anything. He's just going to be to himself. And what happens? He's just to himself. Nobody goes and visits him because he turns him away. He doesn't go and visit anybody because he's too selfish. So his farm is just there. We don't want to be like that.
No.
People who are in successful co-ops, they collaborate. They spend time together, they share information.
Right.
And then the last thing is a wise farmer looks for ways to be innovative. Sometimes doing the same thing over and over again doesn't get us very far.
Right.
If a farmer wants to do better or be a better producer, they will think outside of the box. Otherwise, they limit themselves on how far they'll really go. Thus, they'll never reach their full potential. Such a true statement for me personally. I was down at the Gulf before I came here a little time so that I could honestly surrender even more to God. You ever get to a point where it's feel like, okay, I need to go more. I need to deepen, I need to give up. I just, help me to get there, God. Doesn't matter what I'm going through. What matters is, am I surrendering it to God, the bad and the good? And I purposely put the bad in front of the good because a lot of times we may feel like our life is just a continuous cycle of bad things going on. But are we continually surrendering it to God?
Come on, Clay.
Or are we continually saying and focusing on the bad things that are happening? Wow. Regardless of where we are in that or where I am in that, I'm simply saying I want to be more surrendered to God. The older I get, the more I'm learning. I shared it with somebody else. The older I get, the more I'm learning about myself, the more I'm having to go back to God and say, Lord, help me surrender. Because I'm seeing more stuff in myself that I didn't see before when I was younger.
Yeah.
And it ain't pretty. And the older you think, we get to thinking, oh, this is going to be so much easier as being a Christian when you get up. No, it gets harder. Yeah. You see more stuff. And then every day you got to make up your mind what you're going to do. The key thing is the soil is the crucial thing here.
Right.
Without caring for the soil, and I'm referring to our souls, without stirring it and turning it and irrigating it, it settles. And what happens when it settles? It becomes useless, and when something is useless, it's discarded. Even the scriptures teach that if we become useless, God will discard us.
That's right.
That's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
And that's a wake-up call for me. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be discarded. So let me go to the beach, get away from everybody, and just help me to figure out what I need to do. So I'm pretty much done with, I just want to look at a couple of similarities between a farmer and a Christian. Why is it important to disturb our soil sometimes? You ask yourself that same question. Well, because our souls need to be stirred up so that it can get the nutrients it needs. Our souls need to get the nutrients. How do we do that? Well, we'll know whether or not we're bearing fruit, whether it's in our character, or whether it's, it doesn't get caught up in the numbers of baptism, but more importantly, bearing the fruit.
Yes.
The other part of that is testing the soil. How do we test our soil? Guess how? We got it. We got all of us right here are testers.
Yeah.
We got the Word of God that's going to reveal what needs to happen. Mm-hmm. And we got each other, like the co-op,
right,
to help us to see what we need to do.
Yeah.
And the last point is, you have to be tenacious and be intentional about going after it. I want to close with this. I shared this with our life group earlier this summer. My wife has got a garden, and she's really getting into it, and she's made some mistakes. And what she has had to do is go and seek help from others that are more, that know what they're doing. So, and I'm proud of her for doing that. I want to encourage you, we're in a small church here, and I say we're in a small church here. You have each other.
That's right. That's right.
You can help each other build that community. Amen. Don't worry about what's out there. Mm-hmm. Worry about who's up there.
Yes.
Let him stir your soul. Let him stir your soil so that you will become even more fruitful.
Amen.
Even more, you know, I don't know. God is not done with you.
No, sir.
Please don't think God is done with you. Okay, so this room is not packed. That don't mean anything. God's not done. In his timing, because at the end of the day, that's what? What do we do? All we do is plant the seeds.
That's right.
And then somebody else waters, and then who makes it grow?
God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.